This Lent, I feel like our rocks are like breadcrumbs. Often in fairy tales, we have these breadcrumbs come up that help the protagonists know the way home. And I think rocks in Scripture can help us learn the way home, the way to God. And so let us read our Scripture for this Sunday to see what our rocks are saying. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, God will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This week, I was reading something on the internet, a blog post relating to Lent, and it had this story. A story of a woman who had been falsely, unjustly imprisoned for over 38 years for her form of worship, for who she worshiped, our Lord God. And after she passed away, they found in her cell words written on a stone, words written on the stone wall, in fact. I'm not good at French, but the words were resiste, resist. It takes a long time to etch words in stone. It took this woman 38 years to etch words with her fingers in stone, but yet she did. She left us words. The words were resist. I think that stones, I can imagine the stones that Jesus saw that day had words etched on them from prophets long ago, from the Israelites who had wandered in the desert. And I imagine their stones, those stones also said, resist. Resist. You can do this, Jesus. Just resist. Buzz said it on Wednesday. The wilderness is a difficult place, a place that is isolating, a place that is dry, a place that is far beyond our cities and towns. It's a place we avoid. But we cannot avoid it, can we? We all have entered the wilderness with health problems, the loss of a loved one, divorce, lost jobs. In the wilderness, we feel doubt and fear. And the Bible is full of these wilderness places. The Israelites wander in the wilderness for 40 years before they reach the promised land. Noah, his family, and the animals surf the wilderness of the flood for 40 days. Jonah sits in the belly of a whale, a quite uncomfortable, smelly wilderness spot, for 40 days before being spit back up. Most of us would do anything to avoid the wilderness. But we cannot avoid it. And when we are in it, we are often tempted. Tempted to find easy answers. Tempted to find a way out. And so, we must try to resist. After 40 days of fasting, Jesus is famished. He is weak. And so the tester comes. This tempter isn't dressed up in a devil's costume. He's not wearing all black. The tempter instead personifies all that obstructs and resists what God intends. We know this about our world, that there are forces beyond our control that distort our actions, that are much larger than our personal choices, that are lodged in our economic, political, and social systems. We have no choice but to try to resist such evil. Yet this force clouds our vision. Jesus encounters these forces, this tempter. Jesus does something that we usually cannot. He resists. We know that Jesus is the Son of God. We know the end of this story before it even begins. But if we're to understand what this story actually means, we're going to have to go back to another wilderness time that lasted not only 40 days, but 40 years. A story where over and over, people gave in to fear. Jesus' three temptations follow Israel's temptations in the wilderness. They're even in the same order. Where Israel fails, where we fail, Jesus resists. First, Jesus is tempted by hunger. The devil says, "Turn these stones into bread." Turning stones into bread doesn't seem that bad, does it? Jesus has all this power. Why not feed himself when he's hungry? Materialism is often an answer we turn to. The Israelites are also tempted by bread, by the lack of it in the wilderness. They get scared. They doubt that God will provide for them. The Israelites begin to say, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." The Israelites look around them and don't see any food. It's tempting while we are in the wilderness to think that God has put us there to kill us. It's tempting to want to go back into bondage rather than to trust in God. It's hard to trust, to resist doubt. The Israelites let their temptation win. They are ready to ditch God, go back to Egypt. Yet God is faithful despite their unfaithfulness. God provides manna. You could only collect enough manna for each day. If you collected too much, it went bad. It was daily bread. God turns their demand into a way for the Israelites to learn how to trust day by day. But Jesus knows that his purpose is not to make stones into bread to feed himself. His purpose isn't that small. It's not that limited. God's plan for our lives isn't for us to just take care of numero uno, just to take care of ourselves. We are called to trust God and to love our neighbors. Jesus knows that he could make stones into bread. He could do anything. But Jesus' purpose isn't just to meet the most pressing need now, his own hunger. His purpose is to give up his life for the sake of many, to heal, to love, to be Emmanuel, God with us. His purpose isn't just to perform a magic trick, turn stones into bread. Sometimes I wonder why he didn't give in. That would be a great magic trick. There are hungry people all around. Jesus could have fed all of them. But Jesus comes down to teach us to share our bread, not to make stones into bread so we can hoard more. The point of life isn't bread alone, but loving and following God. So Jesus resists. Next, the devil takes Jesus to Jerusalem, to the seat of power, where Herod rules and Jesus will be crucified. He places Jesus on top of the temple and tempts him to throw himself down because God will bear him up. Jesus could have safety, security, and prestige if he just let go. Jesus resists. Jesus quotes Moses from Exodus 17, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." The Israelites test God just a chapter after manna comes down in the wilderness. Now they want water. They want security. Moses asks, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But they complain. They accuse Moses and God of taking them out in the wilderness to die. They test God, and God is faithful. Moses strikes a rock, and water comes rolling down. In both situations, Jesus and the Israelites are vulnerable. Of course, they both want security and safety. Jesus is on top of the temple. The Israelites are scared they're going to die of dehydration. Both fears are real. How we deal with our fears matters. The Israelites try to take control through complaining and coercion. Often, we try to put ourselves in God's position. We think we know God's promises and how, when, and where God will fulfill them. Jesus' temptation is to use Scripture to ensure safety and security. The devil quotes Scripture to Jesus. "God will take care of you," the devil says. "Just jump down from here." Finally, the devil takes Jesus to a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. Even our rulers and our empires can be used as the tester's tools. "Jesus can have all of them," the devil says, "if he falls down and worships him." Jesus can have control. He can have wealth, power, and influence. His journey could be over, and he wouldn't have to go through death on a cross. He only has to worship the devil instead of God. The Israelites are also tempted to worship a false idol. Moses leaves them alone for 40 days and 40 nights. He goes up to Mount Sinai to be with God. But Moses is gone, and the Israelites do not know when he will come back. They want control. They want order. They don't want to wait. There are so many distractions. So while Moses is on top of a mountain, they build themselves a golden cow to worship. They have a huge festival. They eat, drink, and revel. The Israelites cave, but Jesus resists. The Israelites' temptations, Jesus' temptations, are our temptations. Jesus resists these temptations, but we rarely do. We are often tempted by myths of scarcity, that there is not enough, and so we store. We do not trust that God will provide, so we take matters into our own hands. We are tempted to turn stones into bread for ourselves, or to have Midas's touch where everything turns to gold. We are tempted by spectacles, by security and safety. We will do almost anything not to feel vulnerable. We test God. We are tempted to take back power by any means necessary, even when it means we worship false idols and lose ourselves and our faith in the process. Our temptation is not just to do the wrong thing, but to be someone we are not called to be. We are tempted to deny and reject who we are. But we cannot forget, friends. We are God's children. This story is not bad news. It is good news. For our Messiah, our King, resists. Jesus knows who he is and what he is called to do. Jesus shows the path of resistance, a path that is rarely taken. Jesus shows us there is enough daily bread if we all just share. He shows us that the purpose of life isn't to turn stones into bread, but to follow God. Jesus shows us a path of reliance and trust, a path that does not offer celebrity or prestige, worldly power or security. It is the path to the cross, a path that leads to suffering, death, and resurrection. Already on this journey into the wilderness of Lent, we are being pointed to the cross. As Christians, we are not called to the path of least resistance. We are called to the cross. So let us trust that news, that calling, and let us go stone by stone. Amen.